We're moving towards the end now, and here we're coming to understanding. This is where we're going to talk about the flight attendant in Aeroflot, the problem with my lazy boys who cannot shovel the driveway. But let's look at the definition first. Understanding is the ability to see patterns of behavior. Now, let me just stop there. Patterns. Everybody loves a pattern. See that scarf? Beautiful pattern there. Color, design, it comes through with a certain kind of beauty. It's here, you see. Now, the concept of a tapestry with a lot of threads, but if you turn a tapestry to and look only at the back, what do you see? No, hardly any design, threads hanging there. It's confusing. It's a mess. It's not at all attractive. That's how we see culture in the early stages, like the back of a tapestry. And little by little, as we exercise these kinds of skill sets and attitudes, little by little, we pull the tapestry back and we look and we see pattern. We see design. There's purpose. We begin to understand. And the longer you continue to do this, the more the tapestry appears more and more, and we say, oh, my. You know, I didn't realize it before. I thought that they just did some stupid things. Now I see why they do it. Now I understand its purpose. I see the function that it fulfills. And so understanding is the ability to see patterns of behavior and underlying values that reveal the integrated wholeness and integrity of a person and a people. So one might think, who would come to church at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning? In America, Sunday morning is to sleep as late as possible, to catch your rest, you see. But if you're up early, you may go to the 8 o'clock service or 9:30 or 11 o'clock, but 7 o'clock. And so you begin to think negatively about that, and yet all of a sudden it makes sense. It's a beautiful time of the day. The air is cool, the sun is just coming up, the air is fresh and it's pleasant to breathe, and then you can still attend the market and do some of the things that you couldn't do in other days. All of a sudden it makes sense. Oh, now I understand. It doesn't seem foolish at all, and now that I get into the habit of it, it's normal. In fact, sometimes you start thinking, I wish we did it that way back in America or back in Kursk or Moscow or wherever. This is really a good thing. Maybe we should make that change. Well, the biblical concepts here are creation. God has created wonderful design and patterns, not only in his world, but in each people group. And each people group uses God-given knowledge, their brains, their will, their choices, to make life meaningful for themselves. In the image of God, the fact that we all are reflections of God's image, that is, his image indwells us, his imprint. There's something that God gave to us at the point of life that is uniquely his imprint, that distinguishes us from the animals and the plants, that makes us distinctly human beings. And on that basis, people have dignity and worth. Now, the primary skills for understanding are patience. Doesn't come quickly. It took me a year to figure out Eunice. I asked a number of people. I kept probing, but nobody seemed to understand. And a year, and Eunice couldn't tell me. She would just say, well, that's the way we say it. She didn't understand the underlying values or the purpose for the passive voice. Muriel was saying earlier that often when we're asked to explain our cultural values, we can't. We're too close to it. It's who we are. Why do you do that? We do it because we do it. I mean, doesn't everybody do it that way? Everybody who's smart would know. See? Why do you go to church at 11 o'clock? Well, I mean, we just do it that way. We haven't been farmers for 40 years, but we still go to church at 11 o'clock because at one time, that was the way the farmer would do church. So it takes patience to figure these things out. And it also means that we have to withhold judgment. And then discernment to see the big picture and the tapestry too. The big picture starts to come together, and actually you can spend a whole lifetime learning a new culture. Well, what about the flight attendant on Aeroflot that gave me the small, not so attractive apples? And I thought that she had served me last. I was in the back of the plane. I thought she had served everybody ahead of me and around me, and then gave me last. So I had the pick of the worst. That was my assumption. And immediately I thought, you know, these Russians, what kind of people are they? You know, negative attribution. Less than 5 seconds, I figured that out. Remember, 5 seconds or less. And then she turned around and she started to serve the back row. I was second to the back She served the back row and she served all the rows ahead of me. She gave me first choice of the apples. She let me have choice of the best one to take. It was exactly the opposite of what I thought. She was paying me a wonderful compliment. She knew I was an American. I don't think I had said anything, but I suppose she assumed some things. Maybe saw my passport, I don't know. And here I had judged her harshly, and I had judged the Russian people harshly because I was so quick to make a negative judgment. I assumed that I had all the information. That was not true. And I was wrong and not patient, and I didn't see the big picture. Fortunately, God showed me the big picture rather quickly, and I thought, oh, my goodness, Sarah, why do I do those things? The other story is I came home after work. I had called so that the boys would have the snow shoveled from the driveway so it wouldn't get packed down and icy and dangerous. And so I come storming into the house, and I says, Muriel, where are those guys? And she says, they're upstairs. I'm going to tell them because I'm just fed up with this lazy stuff. And she says, you might want to see how they're doing first. I says, what do you mean, how they're doing? They're just lazy. No, she says, they're both very sick in bed. They came home early from school. Oh, I'm wrong again. I hate it when I'm wrong. But you see, when we make these quick judgments before we get all of the information, there's a good chance that we may misrepresent some people. So now I have the big picture, and it doesn't take long, but sometimes it takes a while. We have to be patient sometimes. But you'd think we would learn more quickly not to make these quick judgments. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We have to get the other person's perspective. We have to learn how they see life, how they organize life, what they do and why they do these things and what their motivation is and how it all makes sense for them. Getting the other person's perspective, I think Larissa said it earlier, is extremely important. To see life and situations as they see them. Back in the 1990s, I think it was 90s, the whole issue of cultural diversity was sweeping across the American continent. Much of the cultural diversity was really focused on black and white relations. And so a lot was being done to try to create better relationships between the black and the white community. What can we do in the university? What can we do in the job marketplace and so on? And this particular illustration picture came out, I believe it was on the front page of the Chronicle of Higher Education. Now that's a fairly large newspaper that comes out once a week, I believe, and is sent to, it can be sent to all the universities. I want to give credit to Tom Hertzberg, who made this picture for the Chronicle of Higher Education. And this was his attempt to say, here's what we need to do. Here's how we ought to be functioning. Notice that this person, let's call him an African American, I think that's who is intended by Hertzberg here, and a Caucasian American, and each has a hold of the other person's glasses. All right? Now, there's two possibilities at this point. One possibility is that I'm taking my glasses off and putting them on you. Okay, Larissa is the only one with glasses here, but I'm taking my glasses off and I'm putting them, you're taking your glasses off and putting them on me. What's the message in that circumstance or in that situation? I'm taking my glasses off. I'm putting them on Igor so he can see. And you're taking your glasses off and putting them on me. What's the message?
Well, since I'm the only one in glasses here, let's try to see how the world looks to me through my glasses.
And if I take my glasses off and put them on your face, what's the message?
Try to see.
Try to see
the world,
how I see it. Mm-hmm. And you, when you're doing the same thing, you want me
to see the world the way I see it.
Yes. That is an egocentric, ethnocentric perspective. I want you to see the way I see. And you both, and if both of you are saying that, it's kind of a standoff then. No, that's not going to work. Now, suppose at the other option now, that we're going to reject that one because that's egocentric and it's self-serving and it's trying to change the other person to be more like me. Now, suppose I'm taking Larissa's glasses off and she at the same time is taking my glasses off and I put hers on my face, she puts mine on her face. What's the message now? Do you want to try it again, Larissa?
Well, let's try to see how we see the world.
So now it's not you and me trying to change you and you trying, but how do we see? And if I'm taking your glasses off, I'm saying to you, I would like to see the way you see, and you're doing the same thing. And now we're trying to understand each other, trying to see each other's world the way the other person sees it. Okay? That's what Hertzberg is trying to do here, I'm quite sure. Now, with that understanding then, let's interpret this picture. What's happening here? What's required here? So all we know now is what's happening, but there's a lot more going on here. Help me interpret further, more deeply.
Well, that's a strive for mutual understanding, I guess. So let's try on and see how we feel with those glasses on, what we see, what needs to be maybe corrected or... Well, what needs to be understood so we could interact more effectively without conflicts or strives or things like that?
Okay, good. Great start. So let me pick up on the word mutual. This has to be a mutual exchange.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to be a cooperative.
It's a team effort.
It's a team effort. It requires cooperation. Both of us have to be willing to do it. And then if we're willing to do it, at least one of the outcomes would be, I think you said it.
That would be mutual understanding, at least some steps towards it.
We understand each other better because we see things the way the other person sees it. And now I say there are many things that I can't negatively judge because I would be wrong now that I see the way you see.
Well, you might not see somebody else's perspective too clearly at this point, but at least you will get to the idea that yours might not be the only right one.
Okay. That's important understanding. My perspective is not the only right perspective or legitimate perspective. What else do you see here?
I see that both of them let to take glasses off from from the partner's head. So they trust each other.
If you're going to do something like this, there has to be mutual trust.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's absolutely correct. Because if you don't trust each other, it's not going to work. You might just as well forget it. Anything else, Igor? The issue of trust then has to be important. So you have this proximity. You have this closeness. And I think the physical closeness then also signals that that is a trust relationship. And then they trust each other to look through the other person's glasses and not to make judgments, but actually to see what is there. And where do you get the idea of equals?
Equals size.
So they're about equal height, mm-hmm. about equal stature. And I think you're right. I think Hertzberg is trying to see that both have equal value, equal significance, and there's equality here. And people have to see that. They have to believe that about another human being. Even if there's radical difference in status, as human beings we're equal. As male and female we're equal. As older and younger we're equal. As Russian and American we're equal, you see. And so Hertzberg is trying to say, when humanity meets humanity, we're the same. What else?
Well, one more little observation. I'm not sure the author intended that, but that's the way I see it. They're trying to adjust glasses on each other's faces. They themselves do it. It's not that I take your glasses and try to wear them like this, you know, mm-hmm. or something like this. And then I would say, okay, I tried on your culture. I can't see anything, or that's exactly the way I expected it to be. But when you try to adjust somebody, your own glasses on somebody's face, you see, well, that's the way I wear my glasses, and that's the way I see it. Because sometimes we try to adjust somebody mm-hmm. else's culture to our values, you know, our standards, and kind of bond the things that don't need to be bonded, and mm-hmm. they are not bondable.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Anything else? How do we go about learning each other's culture? I mean, we don't literally go around exchanging glasses, but it's symbolic. So how do we do it in reality?
It seems to me that when the person says something like this, I want to serve you better, I want to understand you, but I can't really do that without your help. May I borrow your glasses? And another person says, you know, this is exactly what I want to do. So I want to just understand you better because I just want to have some fellowship or friendship with you. And they decide that this is their mutual desire. This is something that their hearts desire to do, and they do that simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. That's a great statement, yeah. And so it takes both parties seeing each other as human beings, wanting to have a better relationship with each other. You said it eloquently. I shouldn't even be trying to re-say it. Anything else that you see here? I think we've covered a lot of the items, good items.
We invite you to participate in the International Bible Teaching and Gospel Sharing Project. Whether these Christian expanded educational opportunities will become available to people around the world depends on all of us. We very much need and value your prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit www.tvseminary.com.
Well, this then brings us to the last item, which is serving. The ability to relate to people in such a way that their dignity as human beings is affirmed and they are more empowered to live their lives in God-glorifying ways. I think the bottom line, the purpose for serving, is to be able to elevate people in their quality of life, to affirm their dignity and their value as human beings. And then, in so doing, to do what C.S. Lewis suggests, and then in those human relationships, to show people God, to show people God's Son Jesus, and to nudge them closer to a God likeness. I'd like to close. Let me do one other thing first. I want to show you a different kind of pattern, but let me do this backwards. I'm going to stand up here and turn the chalkboard over again, because I want to show us how this works so that we are able to see clearly again the pattern. You cannot serve somebody you do not understand, or you'll serve them as the monkey serves the fish. Serving has to be done with understanding that we get through talking and relating to and sharing our lives with other people that we're living with and attempting to serve. And this is true in our home, it's in our families, it's in our churches, it's in our societies, and it's in our jobs. It's everywhere. I think we're to take the posture of a servant as we live our life. That's what I think the Bible teaches. But we cannot serve somebody we do not understand. At best, we will only be benevolent, kind oppressors. Not a happy thought. But understanding is not going to happen unless we're good learners, learning about people, learning from them, beyond the language learning, beyond the basic learning. And then ultimately, when the relationship is strong, learning with them, synergistic kinds of learning. But that learning isn't going to happen until there's trust, because we don't share important information unless we trust somebody, and then we are willing to share. But trust doesn't happen until we feel as though the other person values us. They honor us as human beings. They affirm our dignity and our worth and value. And then that doesn't happen until there's the embrace, the welcome into our presence, and we feel secure, emotionally secure, physically secure, and we feel as though they honestly care for us, honestly enjoy our presence, and we, of course, enjoy their hospitality. So it works backwards a little bit more clearly. When I was writing this material and getting ready to publish it, I sent out copies to various people in the world to see how they felt I represented their comments and put it together. And they said, well, they liked everything except they felt that it should be represented more in a circle. And they said that rather than a linear form, now I'm being from the West, I like linear logic. I like, you know, each step. But they said in Africa and Asia, Latin America, they really thought more in terms of circles, so that the idea of servanthood, which is here at the bottom, see it? The idea of servanthood, when you're accepting someone, you can enter the circle anywhere. You can accept them or you can be learning. And so servanthood is really this dynamic of things happening at different places, different times. So here you are sitting down, asking some questions, exploring somebody's world and trying to understand a little bit. That's servanthood. But then over here, another person, you're accepting them and you're doing something different. And all of this becomes a dynamic of servanthood, not just the end of the process. And I thought that was very interesting, and I want to share that because that's the way the majority of the world thinks, more in a circular fashion, sort of the shape of a shade tree. Church, often in many parts of the world, is in the shape of a shade tree. The wisdom of the world I just found so attractive. They were so beautiful in their sharing with me, and it benefited me so much. I want to close then in reading from Matthew chapter 20. These are Jesus' words, verse 25. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. That's the Gentile or the pagan form of leadership, of authority, standing over people, controlling people, being authoritative, being self-serving in their leadership. And Jesus says that's not the kind of leadership that you're to exercise as believers. Verse 26, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be servants. Let me pray for you and for us as we go. Father, you served us with such eloquence and such sacrifice. You served us by giving your own Son to us, and then your Son Jesus served us by giving his life for us. And we are forever grateful. And now help us to be like your Son Jesus, not to lord it over, but to serve. And in so doing, we pray that many might come to know you, and we might be your good and faithful servants through Christ your Son, who served us first. Amen. Thank you, folks.
Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10, 11. How to give to TVS Ministry. You may give online at efta.org/givenow. In the description place, write Russia Distance Learning, account number 24109-0150. Or make checks out to EFCA. Write on the check memo line, Russian Distance Learning, account number 24109-0150. Mail to EFCA Donor Services, 901 East 78th Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55420-1300. Or send your gift through PayPal for tvs.gift@gmail.com.